Okay.
Well, welcome back to This Green Earth. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak.
And joining us for the next, 12 minutes here.
Rest of the show.
That's right. The rest of the show is Katie Wang, the executive director of the Park City Film Series, as well as Matthew Testa, the writer and director of a new film called The Human Element. And Katie, we'll start with you. Give us the details about, when and where you're showing the film.
Sure. Yeah, I'll let Matthew address the content of the film, which is amazing. I got to see it this year at the Fire Film, the Fire Conference that takes place here at the Sign Erickson Lodge. And our partner on this is Fire Film. So Sharon Anderson Morris has been a great partner with us and has helped us get films like Chasing Ice. And now with The Human Element, kind of following up with the story of James Balog and just some of his incredible work. But that'll be showing as part of our STEM Education Film Series, which we present in partnership with the Verizon Foundation. And that'll be this Thursday, 7 o'clock. It's a free screening, and we'll be joined after the film via Skype by Matthew again, which we're really excited about. We just found out that he's able to join us, so we're pretty excited to have him on the Jumbotron, as it were, to answer questions about the film. And just it's amazing. I mean, it's definitely a film you want to see on the big screen, just for so many reasons. And as you heard from Rob, an important conversation that's ongoing in our community. So,
right.
Yeah.
And the film is brand new, right, Matthew?
Yeah, that's right. We premiered actually last spring at the San Francisco International Film Festival, and we've done some festivals since then and had some other special screenings. Like, we just had a screening in Washington, D.C. at the Smithsonian shortly before the government shut down, so it's good we got in there.
Oh, boy.
When we did. But yeah, the film is shortly to be released on streaming VOD on, I think at the end of this month. It'll be on Amazon and iTunes and I think Hulu as well, and maybe Google Play. But otherwise, it's, it's had a very limited run. So we're just about to have our big release through our distributor at the end of this month.
Well, we're excited to see it on the big screen here in town. So tell us about your motivation for, creating this documentary, this film.
Well, I started out in documentaries almost 20 years ago with an intention to do environmental films. I wanted to do all kinds of films, but my very first film was an environmental film that I shot up in Yellowstone National Park. I had been living in Jackson, Wyoming, not too far from you guys, mm-hmm. working as a newspaper reporter, and I was very interested in the story of the Yellowstone bison migrating out of the park and getting killed by the Montana Department of Livestock to try to control the spread of brucellosis in the region. And I thought it would be important to do a story about this national icon. And so that was really how I caught the filmmaking bug, was working on that film and making that film and getting it out into the world. And since then, I've done a variety of things, but it was about 2 years ago when the producers of the film reached out to me about coming on as director. And Jim had been out filming some of his photographic work. He'd taken a video crew with him. Chasing Ice had been out and had done very, very well. And I think Jim saw, the opportunity that film can afford to reach a broad audience and to communicate some of the things he wants to say. And he had a lot more he wanted to say after Chasing Ice. So he was doing some filming out on wildfires. He was doing some filming of some of the photographic experiments he was doing with air. And he knew that there was something in that space that he wanted to communicate in a film. And so the producers reached out to me and said, okay, well, we need somebody to kind of tie these ideas, these big ideas together and spin it into a narrative. And so that's when I came on board. To really help, Jim, who has a really big brain and wonderful ideas and an incredible capacity to be inspired by science to do this very moving photographic work that he does. But I saw my role as almost like a curator. How do I take these ideas and fit them into a movie and find a narrative? And the other challenge I really wanted to give myself was to make this a climate change story that was an American story about the present effects of climate change on ordinary working folks in the United States, because I felt like a lot of the climate change movies we'd had already had been about theoretical scenarios, you know, future scenarios, and impacts that were maybe happening in far-off places, you know, up on glaciers or in, you know, very distant countries. Right. And I think there was a remove there for Americans, and I wanted to show Americans, and particularly Americans who might otherwise feel left out of the conversation by, you know, a film that featured, say, Al Gore or something. There's a component of this country, obviously, that wouldn't want to go see that film because we're so polarized right now, and because climate change has, I think, quite mistakenly been made into a political issue. You know, there are a lot of people who won't want to go see a climate change film because they think it's, oh, this is going to be a bunch of liberal malarkey.
Right.
And so I wanted to make a point out of humanizing and Americanizing climate change and to find characters who were, in some cases, very conservative people who were on the front lines of the issue.
Well, it's interesting you say that because a few months ago we had the opportunity to interview Earl Swift, the author of Chesapeake Requiem, a book about Tangier Island. And I believe, judging from, okay, Katie's not, that Tangier Island is something that James visited or and talked to those people. And so that humanizing element is a great example there.
That's right. Yeah, Jim was interested. When I came on board the film, Jim had an idea about going to the Chesapeake region and doing some photographic work there. And you see in the film, he does these wonderful portraits of kids in that area, kind of submerged in water, as a metaphor for the future sea level rise and what life will be like for them when they're older. And that's what this is all about, really, is what kind of world we're leaving for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sort of cued off that, and this was indicative of our process and working together. He would have a photographic assignment he wanted to do or a subject he really wanted to get into, and I would sort of take that and say, okay, well, if we're going to go there and Jim's going to do this photo work, how do I spin that into a story? And so I started looking around the Chesapeake area, and I found some articles about Tangier.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, this sounds like an amazing place. It's a fragile place. I don't think that we've really told this story yet, that sea level rise is happening faster in the Chesapeake Bay area than anywhere else in America.
Right.
And that's going to have a lot of impacts, including impacts to national security. There's the biggest naval base there in the world that is already seeing the impacts of sea level rise and may need to relocate or spend a lot of money to protect itself in the future. And so this is something that we can all we should all be interested in, because this is our tax dollars at work. You know, we're going to have to pay to move that naval base or protect our you know, our seamen there. And so when I found this Tangier story, I thought, okay, this is a great place to go to. And I went out and visited, and it was, you know, really beyond my wildest expectations. It's such a fascinating culture. You know, they've been isolated for so long that they actually have a dialect that is unique in the world that's related to Elizabethan English. People go there and study the way that they speak because it's so unique. And they have a fascinating culture. But it is a very politically conservative place.
Right.
A lot of the people on the island, in fact, don't really believe in sea level rise and climate change. They think their island is eroding.
Right.
But a scientist from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers decided to do a study there, and he figured out that the island, you know, has 50 or so years left before it's completely submerged. And even though, you know, it's sort of an uneasy partnership with this guy, because he's coming in with the science of climate change and the science of sea level rise, and the people on the island don't necessarily buy all of it, they have come together and decided to work together to raise awareness about what's happening, to try to save the island. And I just thought this was a fascinating story that said a lot about where we are as a country and the kinds of choices we're going to have to make. You know, do we want to preserve these very precious pieces of our culture that are really, you know, have this Norman Rockwell kind of quality? I think that these amazing, you know, particularly rural American places are becoming more and more endangered as we homogenize as a culture. And I see a lot of value in trying to save a place like that.
We see a lot, yeah.
But whether you care about Tanager Island or not, it really is indicative of what we have in store for us all around, all along each coast, the West Coast and the East Coast. We're going to have to make decisions, as we say in the film, between what we save and what we relocate and what we give up to the ocean.
And that's, I think, is amazing about your film, Matthew, and why, you know, when I saw it, I knew immediately, as you said, you know, I see a lot of climate change films, and this is certainly different and I think moves us forward. You know, there's that conversation that Rob Davies will be talking about next week of, you know, what can we do? But, you know, I think fundamentally we really need to get people to, why should we care? You know, you have to motivate people to take action, and your film does a beautiful job of doing that, you know, through your storytelling and James Balog's photography of really just creating an intimacy with these issues. And as you said, it's an American story. These are our people. These are our friends. These are our neighbors. These are, you know, a lot of us are from the East Coast. You know, we know these places. And if we want to do something about it, we need to act now. And so I think that, you know, thank you for creating this and bringing this storyline together, because it is, you know, you need something that compels you to do more than we're already doing, because clearly what we're doing is not enough.
Okay,
it's just beautiful.
10 years ago, when we had this show and you were on, or so, it was like, we need to act soon.
Right, yeah. But we need to act like yesterday.
And now the word is now.
Now.
Okay,
yeah.
It's now, we need to act now.
Yeah, so. And I think stories like this, you know, it creates that intimacy, that immediacy. You know, you see these beautiful, you know, the story dissolves into a still. You know, and James is such a compelling photographer, as we saw with Chasing Ice, that you connect. You know, it's like, these are people that we're connecting with. These are people that are being impacted. It's not just metaphorical anymore.
Right. So, it's not just metaphorical, or, you know, the rare seabird or the rare insect,
right,
or the
snail
habitat
that maybe
or
don't
the,
care about, right.
You know, right. This is people. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's this Thursday, exactly. Free screening, 7:00. You want to see this on the big screen with our community. I mean, that's really what we try to do, is bring that our community together, have these conversations. Matthew, we're excited to have you after the film for the Q&A, and Sharon Anderson Morris of Fire Films will be moderating that discussion. And she's always got some great questions and is really a champion for this film as well. So parkcityfilm.org, you can check out the trailer. Come see us at the Jim Santee Auditorium. We're really excited.
Fantastic.
Doors open when?
Doors open at 6. Bring your
o'clock.
Popcorn bowl, reduce your footprint on the environment.
Walk there.
Unlimited popcorn.
Walk there, walk home. Matthew, thank you so much, and we look forward to seeing you on the big screen. We'll chat
That's
with
right.
you, get some handle some additional
Thank
Q&A.
You. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we got to wrap up really quickly. We got actually 30 seconds. Let's just go right to our sponsors and underwriters who help make this show possible.
They include